Great. Thanks, everyone. Thanks to AsiaLink for organising this. Thank you. This symposium. I have sat on assessment panels for AsiaLink and been a resident myself. I think it's a great organisation, so I'm very happy to be here. So I'm going to talk about Instrument Builders Project. The first thing I'll do is just give you a little sort of glimpse at the website without going into too much detail as to what's on there. I'll then move on to a kind of overview of the curatorial agenda of the project. If you find that interesting, you're welcome then to go back to the website and look sort of in more specific detail at the artists, the instruments and the blogs that make up the project and their kind of constellations of the project that all come together to form the logic of it. And after I've sort of given a bit of an overview of the curatorial agenda, there's about a 7-minute video which was made in Yogyakarta this year in June, which sort of showcases the work that took place there. So you can see the website here. The last sort of few things that are on there are blogs by the participating artists, which come from the recent project in Yogyakarta. These are sort of reflections on the process of making and the kind of creative experience of being in residence through this project. There's also links to all of the instruments there and artist pages for individual artists. They make sense when viewed together. So the other thing I would note is that this site is built by Wok the Rock, amazing designer and artist from Yogyakarta who is actually the curator of the forthcoming Jogja Biennial. So he's a little bit too busy to be our graphic designer now. Okay, so the Instrument Builders Project. The instruments, installations, objects, artworks and other unclassifiable things that comprise this project are generated as part of a collective experiment. It's one that has happened twice in Yogyakarta in 2013 and in 2014. And incredibly, it's going to happen here in Melbourne at the National Gallery of Victoria in November. For us, this sort of transposing of a project that had its genesis in Jogja and in the creative environment that we had there in ICAN, the Indonesian Contemporary Art Network space, under the direction of Anta Riksa, who I believe is presenting today. Trying to transpose that rather kind of laissez-faire and very open structure into a project that's now going to happen at the NGV. That's sort of something that is, concerning and challenging and interesting. So each Instrument Builders Project consists of 8 artists from Indonesia and Australia, a team of technicians, assistants, and 2 curators, myself and Christy Monfries, who is based in Jogja, and I'm based here in Melbourne. The curators, assistants, artists, inhabit a shared space for 1 month, which is both a workshop for creating and making the works and also an exhibition space for public engagement with this creating and making. So I described it as a collective experiment. The project is collective because the works in IBP emerge directly from conversations, agreements and disagreements, jam sessions, various other interventions that take place between the artists at ICAN, but also over dinner, drinks, late night chats, walking the streets, over the course of the project as a whole. The project is an experiment, and I sort of don't use the word experiment lightly because experimental is sort of a term that is bandied about, sometimes without a lot of thought, but we call this project an experiment because, unlike most conventional programs or shows, and or exhibitions specifically which assemble completed or fully conceived works with a curatorial framework largely in place at the beginning. Each iteration of Instrument Builders Project begins with no works and no set outcome. For this reason, the project approaches its own conclusion with a kind of an accumulating sense of fascination and arrives at its destination rather unexpectedly. So for us, the unexpectedness of the results evidence the value of this experimental method. In thinking about the Instrument Builders Project, it's instructive to return to the word instrument and consider its various definitions. So in our project, the most obvious connotation is with musical instruments, any device created or adapted with the purpose of making sound. But thinking more expansively, in principle, any object at all that produces sound can be a musical instrument, whether it was intended for this purpose or not. So the repurposing of non-musical materials for use as tools in the production of sound is a central concern of this project. And clearly this goal, this sort of objective, aligns us with other projects that have been described as sound art. And again, this is sort of an umbrella term that is, you know, clearly has come into vogue curatorially in recent times, but there is a lot of critical engagement with this term and sort of questions about how it's used. I won't go into a sort of a long diatribe about the term sound art, but I couldn't resist quoting the not-sound artist, Max Neuhaus, when he said that curators who would all ridicule a new art form called, say, steel art, which was composed of steel sculpture combined with steel guitar music, along with anything else with steel in it, somehow have no trouble at all swallowing sound art, but in art the medium is not often the message. So, leaving sound art aside, returning to the word instrument, there are, of course, countless other categories of instruments, scientific, medical, optical, agricultural measuring devices, and the works that have come out of the Instrument Builders Project also respond to these understandings. Some examples that you'll see in the video were Kia Suriadi's homemade windmill, which sat above the ICANN studio and sent power down to the other works within the workshop. Bagus Pendega's sensor devices, which allowed all of the works to speak to each other by converting energetic inputs in one form into energetic outputs in another. Another example, and probably the most well-known work that has been produced through this project so far, is Michael Candy, Pierre van Gelder and Andreas Siagen's mountain-operated synthesizer, which measured the changing weather conditions on the top of an active volcano, Java's Mount Merapi, and converted those measurements into electronic sound. And this work will also be revisited here in Victoria on Mount Feathertop, which I believe is Victoria's highest mountain, but not an active volcano. So if the Instrument Builders Project starts from a point of instrument, meaning basically the musical instrument, but then extends the idea conceptually, this becomes an effective way to bring music into relation with other disciplines, other methodologies. The basic category instrument and the creative possibilities for rethinking it become a key inquiry of the Instrument Builders Project, producing questions such as what is an instrument, how could this or that object or situation be instrumentalized, turned into an instrument. So how does this project play out in the context of Yogyakarta and of Australian and Indonesian collaboration, and how will it play out in the NGV? So I don't want to offer any broad generalisation, so I'll just give a specific example of something that happened in the last project that I think kind of offers a clue to some of those questions. So at the last IBP earlier this year, one of the Australian artists was quite surprised and confronted by the use by the Indonesian artists in the project of assistance, outsourced labour, industrial production of various materials, and this sort of general collaborative approach to making, which involved employing others. And the Australian artist contrasted this with his own DIY or do-it-yourself approach, in which there's a kind of radical autonomy in taking individual control over the production of your work. And this approach of always trying to find an autonomous or differentiated space is really familiar to me. You see it here in Melbourne, and experimental music, which is a field that I've come out of, is a really signal example of this, where the practitioner becomes sort of visible or you could say audible in the field only by virtue of their difference from others. And the Indonesian artist in question in this conversation responded with another acronym, DIWO, do it with others. So as opposed to DIY, DIWO foregrounds the production of these sort of constantly evolving relations between artists and communities of workers across a number of fields. And the artist contributes to or even generates provisional communities through the work itself. And DIWO is still about autonomy in a way, but more about the way that it can be produced collectively and can constantly evolve according to the needs of a community. So sort of not taking sides in this conversation, but just to say that it's a political kind of conversation, but one that in this specific project functioned as a type of thinking through the prism of the instrument. And you might call this the expanded field of musical practice. I think that's exemplary of what Instrument Builders Project is doing. It acts as a generator for dialogue in Jogja between Indonesian and Australian artists. As an addenda, I just want to consider thinking about the Instrument Builders Project as itself an instrument, a device used to determine a value under measurement. So the IBP, through its experimental process, discloses qualities. You could describe them in terms of harmony and dissonance that are social and political as well as musical. The works created are not just unusual devices for producing sound, but also instruments that disclose and determine values of collaboration, community, and play. Okay, so now we get to watch a little video, and after that, I'll hand it over to Kelly.